7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 50 of Color Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and I've got my buddy Brian Allen right here in tow. How are you doing, dude?
Doing good. How are you doing out there? Or up there, I guess.
We actually got all the smoke to go away.
That's good.
So the fires are kind of getting dealt with. We're getting a bunch of rain here, a little bit yesterday, a lot today, and it's supposed to rain throughout the rest of the week. So hopefully that'll keep the air quality good and save some people's homes from all these fires.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, how are things down in your neck of the woods?
Texas is at opening bars, restaurants, etc. at 75% capacity, and yeah, I'm alarmed.
Man, I hope you and the family ain't going out too much.
No. It's one of those situations where, you know, nobody is happy with the governor because people on the left are thinking like, okay, are you insane for opening up to 75% capacity? Our numbers are not good. And then people on the right are like, only 75%? What an idiot. You know, he's a communist.
That's so crazy to me. It is so wild that people can still, like, I mean, I know how it happens, but it's just so weird to me that we have literal worldwide proof of how to deal with things at this point, and people are still fighting it.
Believe me, we want to go to magic tournaments and have everything go back to normal as bad as anybody, because it's, you know, it's, I think we can both say it's costing both of us money.
True. Very true. I still spent money on things I haven't been able to use for things I had planned. So, like, yeah, it's definitely costing me money.
I can't even fathom when I'll do another murder mystery or comedy gig again. It's just,
yeah.
Backwood, I mean, until Comedy Club has tried to open, I want to say, 2 or 3 times now, and just hasn't really been able to for obvious reasons.
I will say there's one in the area up here, the Tacoma Comedy Club, which is pretty good. And they get some pretty decent name acts there. They actually started doing a deal where they only opened for some small capacity. And they even had like temperature checks, you know, social distancing stuff, mask requirements, blah, like the whole, they had like a checklist if you were even going to come to a show. And they actually started doing some shows online. So you could pay like $5 or $10 or whatever, and you get access to like 3 acts for the night or whatever.
I think that's the way people are going to have to start going. And like everybody else, you're scared to start giving people a way they can see comedy without coming to the club. You know, you don't want to open the thing that puts your brick and mortar out of business. I get it.
Yeah, but you got to do what you can in a safe environment to make money between now and then.
Exactly, because we don't know, as I said, we have no idea when it's going to be safe to, you know, open large venues for things again.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully we'll get sooner rather than later, get to where we're going. I also want to kind of give a disclaimer to this week's episode that this is going to be one of the heavier episodes on some different topics. And I don't know too many ways to lighten it up. You know, we talked about this. For those of you that are patrons, you'll hear us talk a little bit more about this on the behind the scenes episode. But we do like positive content, you know, and there's just not, I don't want to be grim because that's not my personality, but there was just a lot of not light news this week. So we're going to do our best to approach it as best we can, still be entertaining. But, you know, situations are what they are. News is what it is. I mean, there's not a lot we can do about it. But before we get into that, let's remind everybody about one of the show's sponsors, Cardsphere.com. And they are, again, super supporters of our content. You know, they have Brian actually writing episodes, articles, over on their website now.
Episodes.
Oh, that's true. You call it what you want. Entertaining material if you want to read it. But the cool part is for users, you go to the website, put the cards in that you have, basically set the condition and whatever they are, and then put in the list of stuff you're looking for, whatever price you want to pay, and then it just matches you up. It's literally that simple. Matter of fact, I just had some more cleared today, so I got another chunk of change in my account over on CardsFair. And the cool part is, whenever I'm ready, if I don't think I'm going to buy anything else for a while, I can just withdraw the money right into my PayPal account, have it ready to spend. It's amazing. It's so good. If you don't use it, go use it. If they ask, hit them up on social media. Tell them Color of Magic sent you. And the other group of people we got to thank is our patrons, like we just talked about. So if you sign up on our Patreon for the show, you get to get access to our Discord. So you can come in there, hang out, be part of different daily conversations, ask questions. And you get a postcard handwritten in the mail by me. Matter of fact, this round of people who are new patrons will be getting a postcard in the mail tomorrow. So we have John Cooper, Anthony Maddox, Rebecca Klusman, which is an old friend from Waco, which is awesome. Lillian Young, sorry about that. And James Alvary. So thank all of you for coming on board and supporting the show. If you'd like to support, you can go to patreon.com/colorofmagic. Related to that, I have some news because somebody actually sent a question today, which is funny because I literally just got the files. So I now have new logos for the show. So we'll have those up on the website soon. I already started talking to somebody about getting playmats produced. So hopefully within about 2 to 3 weeks time, we'll have those ready. We'll be sending those to the people that are at the appropriate Patreon level. And then the others, I'll find a way to put them up for sale. And we've also talked about just doing a couple of pieces of show merchandise with the logo, since now I have a merchandise channel for the rest of my stuff. We'll be putting those on there as well. So once that's all done, we'll make sure everybody has the appropriate links. So business out of the way. Time to get serious for a little bit.
So we're happy that we have business, so we appreciate that.
That's very true. Because, you know, it's weeks like this when you look and say, man, people may or may not want to listen to this episode. So glad people do. So I'm not even going to play around with soundboards this week because I feel like it's just not appropriate for the content. I think this is just a serious week. So just going to take it as it is. But earlier today, the ruling came out on the Breonna Taylor situation with the three officers that were involved. And pretty much convictions came down that basically they're not taking any responsibility for her death in any way. I believe only one got any real conviction, and it was for the equivalent of like reckless endangerment because they accidentally shot into a neighboring apartment. Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the real messed up part of the whole thing is about, I want to say 48 hours before, they had started just prepping the downtown area, putting up cement barricades, boarding up a bunch of windows. So they already knew what was going to come down. You know what I mean? Like, there was no doubt in their mind that it was going to go down that way.
I mean, I didn't expect justice. I figured, okay, maybe we get a grand jury and then, you know, good luck finding 12 people in Kentucky that are going to convict some officers of wrongdoing for murdering somebody. I figured they would at least go through the motions and then acquit everybody. We ain't even going to get motions.
No, not even. And like I said, to me, the worst part was, especially when we talk about, well, you know, they're understaffed, they don't have enough money. But magically, you were able to get everybody together in the same place and coordinate these big things to put up all these barricades and do us other stuff or whatever for this. And the tough part is when we have these conversations, and this isn't even a black or white thing at this point in this particular situation. What this says is officers, at least in that state, minimum, but it probably will carry over elsewhere, can go in, kill somebody, even when they're in the wrong house, and not have to be penalized for it.
Yeah, because like, as I've mentioned many times, I used to be a police reporter. I've covered a whole lot of crazy things, but this is one of the worst that I have ever encountered in terms of at every step, they did the wrong thing. They're in the wrong place.
And then
the person who they're supposed to serve the warrant on isn't in the building. They, according, you know, to the one witness that we have, didn't identify themselves as police, fire into the place, and they shoot the wrong person because it's the boyfriend who is, you know, trying to return fire, which if you kick the door down, didn't announce yourself, he has every right to start shooting at you at that point because he doesn't know who you are. So, yeah, they
beat I think
that's returning fire. And it just.
But it's even worse than that, right? So one of the officers gets shot in the exchange. He gets carted off in an ambulance. The person they shot is dead on scene.
Yeah.
And then he has the audacity to, did you see this? Where he wrote a letter to the department yesterday before the ruling came down to say like, oh, hold strong. And you know, it's terrible that, you know, these people are going to be against you because of the ruling and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's trying to play the victim card, which is takes.
It's like, dude, you killed somebody.
Even in
like you shot somebody in their own home.
Even in situations where you're serving a warrant and you got the right person, you always have to say like, okay, was there another way this could have happened? Could you have restrained this person without gunfire? This is a case where he couldn't have been more in the wrong.
For real. Not even a little bit.
There was nothing in this case that was done right. It's just from step one of being at the wrong place.
And then the follow-up investigations, like trying to dig up dirt and stuff that wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And then trying to make the weird plea bargain with the boyfriend of like, well, we'll let you off easy if you at least say she was involved with these other drug dealers or whatever, which smartly for him, he was like, hell no, I ain't taking that deal.
Yeah. No way.
You know, but it's just, go ahead.
No way you should take the deal, but it was terrible of them to offer it.
Oh, for sure. And to me, that should also be taken into account, right? Because if you think you did everything right and you did everything by the book and you have the law to protect you and everything else, why would you have to make that ridiculous plea deal?
Dude, this stinks to high heaven, honestly. This is just.
And honestly, that is.
This is why.
Man, I'm trying not to get heated over here, man. But like when we have these situations where people are calling police officers for stuff that's minor or unnecessary or whatever, and they end up in somebody's death, or you wonder why people don't call police officers more often, or why more violence goes on in homes, or why people don't report more things or whatever, it's situations like this.
Yeah.
Like, this is why. When people ask, like, well, why didn't so-and-so just say something? Or why did they just keep this private at home for this long? Or whatever. These are the situations why.
Because black people are uniquely acquainted with calling the police for help, and we end up getting shot.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say this. I know the whole thing about all cops are bad, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. But I have actually met some officers, and I just look at them and go like, dude, I see you trying to do good stuff, but if you're not calling all these other people out and trying to hold people to the proper status, you kind of are almost as bad as they are. And it sucks for those people because I do believe there are some police officers trying to truly protect their communities and do the right thing and take down criminals or whatever. But the problem is their job's going to be exponentially worse because other crap like this goes down. And until they start helping fight that or talk against it or fight against it, their job's just going to be crappy too. And I don't even know what the best solution is here. I know people are going to say, go vote. And wherever we still do got to vote. Yeah. If you haven't registered yet, absolutely go do so. It's imperative that you go do so. But you also have to be active.
Yeah.
You know, pay attention to your local politics. Everything from, hell, your school board all the way up to your governor. Like, all those things matter. Don't, if you have a vote and you have a say-so and they're taking statements from people or whatever, go participate. Like, we all need to be more active in our communities to kind of clean this mess up.
That's one of the things I preach all the time, is like, yes, it is also important to vote in the national elections, but so much of what they do is trickle down policy. It won't affect you immediately, whereas the people who set your local property tax, the people who hire your police officers and your police chiefs, those are the ones who you really got to make sure you have done the research and made your voice heard.
Oh, definitely.
That
definitely
controls your day-to-day lives.
And hell, if you're able to, go get involved in the process.
Yeah.
You, just so you understand what's going on. Even if you're not running for office, go volunteer for somebody's campaign management thing or write some pieces for people or whatever, just so you can understand what each of these people cares about, what they're trying to highlight, who they partner with, who they believe in, who they don't. There's so much to be learned, and I think it'll open people's eyes to really help them kind of process a lot of what goes down.
Especially if you live in a smaller town, you know, there's more than likely a board of some kind you can serve on. Many of them are happy to have people, because a lot of times they are just searching for people and like, hey, if you show up, you got a seat on the board.
That's true. I've seen that before. I mean, we've had ballots where a person just won the office because nobody opposed them as like railroad commissioner.
Yep.
So you just got the same person for another two terms, because the last couple times nobody even submitted anything. Like, you could have literally just put your name on the ballot and people have been like, great, you're not the other person. And you would have probably won. But yeah, this whole situation, it's all bad. And I don't even know. Like, here's the toughest part, right? Even, and this is nerd brain, right? Just thinking about, if this were a game and you're strategically trying to win, and this is like diplomacy and everything else, right? At some point, if you make the maneuvers they're making and you don't have any type of awareness or opportunity to humble yourself in there, you're only going to make more enemies. Like, at some point you have to say, yeah, these dudes effed up. Even if you don't want to put them in jail, you at least say, hey guys, look, this is a pretty bad situation. Y'all goofed up. The public's also going to hate this. The public pays your bills. So at a minimum, we got to take your license and you're no longer an officer.
Yeah.
You know, and I know people want even more justice, or but you got to give something.
Heck,
go ahead.
I would even, you know, in lieu of some justice, give them a desk job, because a lot of officers will quit at that point because they want to be in the field.
I mean, here's the thing. If anybody is local to that area and you know those officers or you recognize the names, are you going to want to work with or cooperate with those officers if they show up for anything you're involved in? You know what I mean? Like, as a citizen of the area, if you see an officer show up to your situation, regardless of what side you're on, and you know their history, that's probably going to be in the back of your mind.
Because at this point, they've been all over TV and news, so I can't imagine. Like, most people are going to know them on site. And will for years down the road.
For sure. And this is another one of those situations where I tell people, body cams are good for both the officers and the citizens. So if you're saying, hey, no, we did everything right, here's what happened. Great. You can show the footage and we can say, yeah, they're kind of right. It went down like this. It sucks that somebody died, but they're not wrong.
And for some of my friends who have responded, you know, well, if they're wearing body cams, you know, there's a lot of things they can't do. Like, they can't let you off with a warning. Yes, they can. That's a matter of police procedure that can be discussed behind closed doors.
They can absolutely let you off with a warning.
Yeah.
What do you think they do when they log all their stops and they have to put in, like, well, why'd you put in five license plate numbers or whatever. It's like, I saw some people that had some expired tags, but they were cool. You know, whatever. They have to do that anyway. But anyway, people are going to be talking about this for the next probably week plus. I just felt it, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention it, because that is the biggest disappointment in a while. So, Brian, what did you learn last week?
Well, not WWE, 2K Games did a thing I wish more people would do. WWE 2K20, as I'm sure many of you heard, was an absolute dumpster fire of a game. So they said, you know what? We're not putting out WWE 2K21. Here's another type of game in its place. And it's a game called WWE Battleground, which is kind of more like a arcade-style game. If you remember, you know, WrestleFest, WrestleMania, the arcade game. And I want to say it's not perfect, but it is a lot of fun. And I wish more people would say, hey, maybe we don't have to put a game out every year. Sometimes just take a year off, come up with something different.
You know, I can agree with that. I think that's one of the things that eventually got Madden to be kind of hated this year. Other than obvious, like COVID and that gunking up the works or whatever. But I think there's a lot of times where maybe every other year, it just be, hey, you know what? An odd number of years, we're just going to give you a DLC for like $25. We update some rosters. If there's new stadiums, we fix them up or whatever. Otherwise, here's your game. Then in even number of years, you get a whole new product. And the quality of the product would have to go up immensely if you did that.
Yeah. I think Call of Duty has two or three different teams that work on their game. So one year it's a Modern Warfare. Another, like I think this year we're getting Black Ops, which is their Cold War themed game. That way, if you're putting out something every year, you have different storylines you can offer, different gameplay. You're in a different setting, because Lord knows there's been enough war to make games about from now to eternity.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I agree with you. I think Call of Duty, the property, was very smart. I remember when I first read that like 5 or 6 years ago, and I thought, man, that's a really smart way to do it. Because I remember having the thought of just like, it feels like there's a Call of Duty game every year. And I was right. There really are. But they're at least alternating the sub-brands on it, so you're not getting the same thing all the time.
So, hopefully,
kudos to them.
Hopefully this is the thing that they'll do with the WWE franchise for from here on out, really. Because, again, Battlegrounds has it. It's the same people, you know, that made – well, I think they've switched teams on who made the game. But still, there's – a lot of glaring issues, but overall, it's fun, and it's very much a, hey, I'm glad y'all tried this. I would love to see you build on this base.
Yeah, I think it's cool, and it seems pretty popular. I've seen a few people playing it online. I've seen some YouTube videos about it, so it's connected with some people for sure. But we'll talk about what I learned in the last week. And mine wasn't even last week. Mine was last night.
Oh, wow.
And I just, let me say, like, I already am aware and know some things about racist people and racist organizations. And I've even had some personal conversations with some of them. But it is still very amazing how disconnected people can be from their racist actions. So let me set the stage for you, because it's my turn to have an incident on stream. So we're streaming. It's about, at this point, I want to say it was about 11:15 or so around then, last night, local time. And I'm in the middle of playing a game, and, you know, chat's kind of doing its thing, and I'm peeking over a couple times, you know, just like you would normally when you're streaming. I finished the game, and I noticed there's a couple of comments that have come in, so I normally use that chance to, like, scroll back and address everybody to make sure everybody's getting seen or whatever. Well, there's a person who came into the chat, said hi, and I guess because I literally didn't immediately say hello, because when I scroll back, it wasn't even off the screen yet, so it could have only said it maybe less than a minute prior. followed up with, "Pay attention to me, nigger."
Wow.
Just flat out. And I was just like, dude, hold up. So we kind of shut down everything we were doing for a second. Now, to be fair, everybody in my chat pretty much just went off. I'm like, dude, what the hell? And then I was like, what possesses you to even remotely come into the chat and say that? Like, okay, first level basic courtesy crap is, you see we're in the middle of playing a game and things are happening. So I'm not going to respond literally to the second when you post something. That's kind of understood things that go on when you're on Twitch. Nothing surprising about that. You'd have given me about a minute, minute and a half longer, you'd have got personal attention. I do my best to give everybody their time. But to stroll in on a black person's channel and bust out the N-word like that, like, what the hell? So then I'm like, okay, I give them the kind of quick reprimand. And I mean, you do realize this is just going to earn you a ban, right? I don't know what else you thought was going to happen here. And then the person starts pleading to not be banned. Legit say, oh, well, I didn't know it was going to be that bad. I was trying to be funny. I'm not from the U.S., blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on.
You knew. Nobody uses that word. Just say, hey, I don't know what this means. Everybody knows what that means by now.
No, and I even use it as a point to educate people in the chat, because I know, and please excuse my language just for the example, but I was explaining to him, like, I grew up in South Texas. I know people from Mexico. I am not going to show up in a Hispanic person's stream and call them a wetback. Exactly. Not going to happen. There are things you just, I'm not from Germany, but I know damn well I am not going to use the term Nazi directed toward a German person.
Yeah.
Like, there are things you don't have to live there to know.
My youngest child is 9, and we were watching one of those that we didn't realize. It was one of the unedited versions of Sanford and Son, where they dropped that word all the time. And even my youngest kid knows, ooh, okay, he wasn't supposed to say that, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know. You absolutely know. And what I told people, here's the saddest part of the whole situation. I wasn't even surprised that somebody used the word. Because, you know, we're used to it, sadly. I hear it probably more than I should. But I was more surprised that the person was genuinely pleading and trying to make excuses to not get banned after doing it.
As you say, I don't know what else they could have thought would happen.
Yeah, I was literally like, what in your right mind makes you think, like, how disconnected are you, seriously, that you're going to throw that out there? Not even throw it out there in an angry manner.
Yeah, because they went in context. They went out there trying to get a reaction from you. So they know the connotations of the word.
Exactly. And then be begging and apologetic or whatever that there's not going to be consequences. Like, for real. Not even on a racist term, but like, if you know as well as a man, like if you are arguing with a woman and you see you next Tuesday or...
Yeah.
You know there's going to be hell to pay. Right? You don't even, you know, like you've already crossed the line, right? Same thing here, right? You already know. Like, what? And the best part I will say is, and at the point I had like almost 100 people in my chat. It was like 85, 90 people. So you're doing this in a room full of people. What did you genuinely think was going to happen? And then I will say this, my chat was wonderful. Like, everybody immediately was like, dude, what do you think was going to happen? Like, you can't just do that or whatever. And then, you know, they were sending me like apologetic messages and people sent me stuff on my Discord. So like, everybody was cool except for literally the one person. And, you know, he might've did me a favor, cause I think I got some sympathy subs after that. So it kind of worked. But man, ugh. But that was my Tuesday night.
Wow.
And honestly, I was. And the worst part is, like I said, I'm not. I like. this, I think, talks to the state of how common it is that I wasn't even upset about it. At the end of the day, I kind of was just like, cool. All I did was I set my thing to like a 60 minute ad break just so I could go like tell my wife what just happened. And then I came back and I was like, cool. I didn't want to say anything that was going to, you know, come off wrong or whatever. But we just finished our night. The last 45 minutes did our thing. So the fact that that even happened, I should have been livid. I really should have been.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's just one of those things, like, you encounter it enough that you're just like, eh, here's another idiot.
Basically.
But yeah, that still happened.
Turn, because we both had incidents, and it seems like it almost is one after the other.
Yeah. And it's just, like I said, it's just not even the fact that they used the language that was bothersome. It's just the reaction afterwards. Because it really should have either been, if you're going to throw it out there, just go full on racist and own it. Or just be like, yeah, you're right. I effed up. And then take your L. You know what I mean? Like, the begging and apologizing, where like, that's just dumb. Like, you pretty much have two actions. You chose the wrong one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk about some other stuff for a second.
All right.
WotC put out an announcement for Monday that there's going to be some standard-related news. Now, it appears to me that people are of the assumption that there's going to be a banning. But I don't know that we know it's going to be a banning. The way I read it, I didn't take it to them saying, hey, we're going to ban a bunch of stuff come Monday. So maybe it's going to be philosophy on how they're going to do bannings. Maybe they're going to test some stuff. I don't know. I feel like I maybe mentioned this in the very beginning. But there was a point where it was discussed, and man, I think this has been public, so it's fine to say. But there was a point that it was discussed that if a card already exists in Magic, but it may not be standard legal, but could solve a problem, that there was a discussion about making that card legal for standard. So I wonder if that's a possibility here.
Where we're unbanning something to answer something?
Yeah, like, maybe. I'm not saying they will, but I know it's something that's been on the table before. And I can't remember at the time what it was, but it might have been like duress wasn't legal. But everybody thought, well, if duress existed, it would help solve some problems. So, and I want to say we had talked about even what a plan could be to like, okay, we'll print some promo ones and we'll send them to stores and they can give them out to everybody that participates in FNMs or whatever. Obviously, we're not FNMing right now, but there was like a plan because it's like it's a common. And any card you would unban would be a common or an uncommon. So there's already like plenty out in the world, so you wouldn't have to worry about chasing them down for more than like a dollar each. But who knows, like, maybe that, you know, it could just be like, hey, here's a new way we're going to go about potentially banning cards or not.
I love the concept of doing that. It gives me almost like I hate to say it, to just talk about it, but almost like a wrestling feeling of nobody can stop this guy. Oh yeah, here comes wrestler you hadn't seen in 6 months down the rampway. I love it.
Yeah, you know, why not? Why not? So, I don't know what it's going to be on Monday, but I will say this. There are people who are very mad about the format because Omnath, Uro, Lotus Cobra, ramping stuff is really strong. But I will also say that people are finding answers. I mean, even as of this recording, we are only 1 week after the release of the set on Arena. So there's not really been that much time for things to develop. And don't get me wrong, it may still stay very popular. It may just be annoying or whatever. And then when we're 3 weeks down the road or whatever, cool. Maybe we should do something then. But you got to give the brewers and stuff time.
Yeah.
Because here's one thing I don't think people think about. Is when a format first happens, especially now, you have a lot of people, even more so than previously because of COVID and job loss and everything else, that are going to be strapped for resources. So the thing the majority of them are going to build is going to be whatever people say is the biggest, most powerful thing at that moment. Because if you're a low to mid-level skill player, you're just like, okay, just tell me what the best thing is to build so I can spend my resources or my wild cards or my cash or whatever on that and just get the most from my money. And hopefully I can just race the ladder or whatever. So that's what people were doing, which, to be fair, is a reasonable plan. Right? If I have limited budget, limited wild cards, and I'm like, hey, I can only build one really good deck right now, and maybe I can build another one in like 2 or 3 weeks. What am I going to play till that time? Whatever people say is good right now. But what you're starting to see over the last, I would say, 48 hours or so, is people are like, oh, well, they've built Gruul versions that deal with it. They've built mono green versions that can handle it. Other issues like the rogue decks, the Dimir rogue decks, they also start changing their card pool. Because the other thing is, too, in the beginning, everybody's also just testing new things, right? We're all trying to build cool new decks and see what these cards do and how does the new mechanic work and all that. So the big powerful thing is just going to overrun all that. But as the meta starts to come into focus a little bit, each one of those decks can now start taking out some stuff that's not as good and replacing it with answers. And that's what we're starting to see a little bit. Matter of fact, I watched an event last night before I went live on stream, one of the Star City qualifier things. The top two decks were Sultai and Mono Green. And below them were like four Omnath decks or something. And each of them had beat a couple on the way to the finals. So totally doable.
Yep.
Not saying the deck's not good and it's not powerful, but I think we do have to give things more than a week to play out and say, like, this is the biggest, baddest thing. And here's another interesting fact, is when I recorded my video that went up today, I didn't even run into one of those decks. I played 5 games on camera. I played another 5 off camera just for the recording because I was like, well, if I can get one of these matchups, I'll go back and edit it in and include it. I couldn't even find one. And then I streamed last night and we played 4 or 5 matches, best of 3, didn't play one. So I know they're still out there and I know they're good, but it's not like they are that dominant that everybody feels the need to play them right now. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see a bunch of bannings on Monday. I know a bunch of people are hoping for it. I think we really need to wait like 2 more weeks before we start handing out bans. Question, though, is for you. Have you run into any of these decks yet?
I want to say I saw Omnath the other night, but I hadn't seen enough of it to where I realized, oh, okay, this is a thing. People are apparently wanting to hit with the ban hammer.
Yeah, so I don't know. And I also think we're in a world now where just so many people are playing a ton of games. More people are spending time playing Magic or playing Arena because obviously, like we talked about, we're not going to restaurants. We're not going to malls. We're not going to the movie theaters. So, yeah, it's going to get more of their attention, and they're probably going to run into more of those situations where their deck doesn't win or doesn't beat a thing. And it's also tough for new players, right? Because they don't have the skills yet to understand how to deal with some things. So it's a hard time for the people at Wizards right now, I think, to make those decisions and understand, like, what's a legit problem and what's something that can work itself out. So it's going to be a learning period, I think, for the next few months for sure.
And also, sometimes they do things related to ban because, okay, even if there are answers for a thing, it's just making the environment so unfun.
That's true. That's also fair. Let's stick with the Wizards of the Coast theme here. And another bit of news. I posted about this in our Discord, and I might have mentioned it. I think I mentioned it on Twitter as well. On Tuesday, I woke up to find out that an ex-employee of mine over at Wizards was shot by police officers and killed. And his was another situation where somebody just called the cops. The way I read the story, the cops had some questionable intel on whether he had a gun or not on him. And all the descriptions I could find basically said that at some point he reached for what could be a motion to either like hike up his pants or something or whatever. And he ended up getting shot because the officer thought he was reaching for a gun. And Now you have a situation where some little girls don't have a father. And the toughest part about it, and this comes back to, I keep saying, like, our biggest issue with police officers is they're not trained to handle the situations they're called into. Because, to be fair, when the officer showed up, the reports are that he had been drinking, he'd gotten belligerent with, I guess, a significant other or whatever that was there, and then they either called or flagged down or whatever a police officer. So the officers have to, like, we're asking police officers to show up and understand how to deal with domestic disputes, to deal with people having drug issues, to deal, hell, sometimes with rabid animals. Like, you know, like, they are not trained to deal with all these things. Now, could they be? Maybe. But, you know, the reality is, in the United States, the average police academy to graduate is 14 to 19 weeks. That's not even half a year.
It takes longer than that to learn to play magic effectively.
Yes. Like I've told you before on the show, when I found out that a barber has to put in more time before they can even take the exam, much less graduate to get a barber license, than an officer does to carry around a gun and be protector of the law, that is absurd.
I got more training to report on what happened after a police officer shot somebody than they're getting before they get their weapon.
Basically. And the crazy thing is, like, you have to do 1500 hours of time as a barber before you can even take a test. That is nuts by comparison. And, you know, credit, you get some badass barbers out of the deal. But you also get some very crappy police officers. And I don't know what people expect. Like, and honestly, police officers, they need to be getting regularly evaluated twice a year.
Yeah. As
because
everybody
they,
else does on their job, at least twice a year.
Yeah, because their job is tough. I mean, yes, you are going into dangerous situations. And yes, you're worried about getting killed on your job and you're seeing some things that the average person may not see or whatever. That should be regularly evaluated. But you know what? They should also have to do at least bi-yearly, but yearly updates on their training. Because I know people here that are, I know a couple people that are social workers. They have to do updated training every 2 years or they can't maintain their license as a social worker. Like, police officers, at a minimum, you should be getting updated in some level of mental health training or evaluations, some medical procedures, and probably even de-escalation and, like, disarmament tactics. Because why every single officer... Like, here's the thing. Like, how many situations have we seen where there's a mid-sized man, but for whatever reason, they were fearing for their life when there's three officers around?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't have three officers safely take down, disarm, incapacitate one person, they shouldn't be police officers doing that job. They shouldn't. Like, I watched a foot. This is from a few years back, but I watched footage, and I want to say it was in Canada, where a dude has a gun out. He is trying to get death by police officer, and they still end up not shooting the guy and getting him disarmed and arrested. So to tell me when there are multiple police officers on scene, and you're afraid one person can overpower you, or one person may have a gun or whatever, and the three of you that are of equal size to the person can't take them down, you lack training. Maybe there's a rare scenario where that guy's like, I don't know, a world-class MMA fighter or something or whatever. But that's like less than 1% of 1% of all humans on the planet.
And if they possess that skill, they're going to do their level best to not get themselves shot because they're getting paid really well for presenting that skill in most cases.
Yeah, very likely. But yeah, this to me is another one of those cases where officers need to be trained better on so many issues. But you know what we have? We have situations where we say, oh, well, they're underfunded, or oh, they don't have enough time, or there's too much crime or whatever. But then you know what happened? They passed a law. I thought it was 5%. It's not even 5%. It was 3% to defund the local police department in Seattle. 3%. And you know what they did yesterday? They got in their vehicles and they followed a protest with their sirens blaring, tons of squad cars out there just trying to derail this protest. But they don't have enough time. They're underfunded. Magically, somehow, they found money for those extra overtime hours, and they found a way to take all the people off the street and ignore all the actual crime that apparently they have to fight to be out there with just their sirens on doing nothing. Like, this is what we're dealing with. But we got to get some level of humility, some level of sympathy, some level of training back into these police departments, or else I don't think anything's going to change.
And it's frightening how, you know, with essentially half of America on fire, seems like every other couple of weeks, there's still another case of this happening.
You're right. That is a thing. You would think if you're an officer, you would at least hesitate. You know what I mean? Be like, yo, can I deal with this tomorrow?
How much chaos do we have to get to till we reach a point where, you know what, unless this black person is actively, you know, with the semi-automatic just walking through the street mowing people down, if it's anything less than obvious murder being, if it's a traffic stop, anything like, okay, go ahead. How many people have to die before we get to, and how many cities have to burn before we hit the point of, well, let's just not even be pulling people, black or white, over
from yeah.
Until at least till we get to a point where the country is not actively burning down around us.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, and again, I think this comes back to what we talked about earlier. It's like every time this type of incident happens, it makes things more difficult, more tense in the next incident. Because now it's like, okay, well, now you have people more afraid of the police officers, but then they're really tense, and now you have the officers more worried. And the reality is, one of them is being paid to do the job to be in that scenario. That's the person that needs to be better trained. Because in every other job, whether you're in like hotel hospitality, whether you're a doctor, whatever, like, you are always the one that's trained on how to deal with those situations. You are the one that's trained on being calm and level-headed and resolving things. But for some reason, we are not holding the police officer to the same level. And I don't understand why. Because think about any other job you've had. If you even, hell, just punched a customer, even when they were probably, you were in the right to punch them, you might still lose your job.
Yeah.
But we have people who literally went into a wrong house and shot someone, rolled up on the street at a domestic violence incident where a person didn't even have a gun on them and killed them. And there's probably going to be no repercussions. That's crazy. When at any other job you have, there are a million ways you could be fired and they're not even close to killing somebody.
Yeah. There are jobs where if the right customer asks for you to be fired, you get fired.
Yeah, in some cases. And that's why I keep telling people, like, we have to put the onus on the officers. Like, it's literally their responsibility to de-escalate. Like, if you call a cop over for some type of dispute or because a commotion's happening or whatever, it's their job to show up, investigate, get the information, figure out what it is, try to calm it down, go on about their day, write tickets or citations if they have to. That's literally their job. But how many times have you seen people defend, like, oh, well, they were afraid for a thing, or, oh, well, the person should have done this, or, but, like, you're in the middle of a situation, and a cop shows up and he has a gun on you. Like, you're the one that's supposed to be calm.
Why are you resisting arrest? Not resisting arrest, resisting murder.
Yeah, you are literally.
And who wouldn't resist murder, even given the situation?
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's tough. I expect there's going to definitely be fallout from these situations. And until you put the right people in charge, you know, when we're saying go out and vote and do this and do that and get active, like, you have to actively be trying to put the right people in the right positions that'll talk about this stuff, stand up to it. You know, credit to the city of Seattle. The way I understood it went down is, if I'm not mistaken, I may have my facts wrong, but there was a group, I believe it might have even been the governor, that was going to not do the 3% and wait or whatever. And then I guess it was the council or whatever that overruled the governor and then just got it enacted. So stuff is in motion to at least start by reducing the budget by 3%. It's not a ton, but it's a start. We can put that 3% towards something else that'll hopefully be more productive. But not to be grim, but there were two other deaths that weren't as personal that I kind of wanted to touch on, because I feel like they were both a little bit personal to us. So I'll let you talk about Gale Sayers, actually, because I think you have a more personal story about Gale Sayers than I do.
Well, he was doing one of those gigs in Vegas, you know, where you get an athlete and he sits around, does autographs, answers questions, that kind of thing. And we were there for our anniversary, but as you know, there are a million things to do in Vegas, and my wife had no interest in sitting in line for an hour to talk to a football player, which I get, because there's a million things to do that might interest both of us. But then, you know, I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, when am I ever going to get to talk to Gale Sayers again? And the answer, correctly, was never again, because he developed CTE, and now he's no longer with us. So, yeah, I will always regret not waiting in line for an hour or however long it took just to go talk to him, shake his hand, and get to meet him.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing people don't think about sometimes, is especially when it comes to athletes, and even more so if they're football players from the past, once you're north of like 60, the clock's just kind of ticking. And it's tough, because if you don't get the chance to meet them before then, even if you do after that point, they may not even be all there mentally, unfortunately.
So
that was a sad one. I've watched a lot of footage of his when I'm looking at different running backs and whatnot. And just one of those players, like, man, I kind of wish I could have watched this person play in real time.
Yep.
The other death is one probably from both of our childhoods, actually.
Yeah.
For those of you that are wrestling fans, I was going to say WWE fans, but these guys wrestled in damn near every organization, I think. The Road Warriors, or the last remaining Road Warrior, passed yesterday. And that was a tough one to hear, because, like, I remember pretending to be a wrestler, and, like, you always want to pretend to be tag teams with your friends and do the crazy double team moves onto mattresses or whatever. And they were one of the ones, right? Like, when you talked about tag teams, you could have almost anybody else. You could talk about, like, the Von Erichs or the Freebirds or whatever, but almost everybody was like, oh, yeah, the Road Warriors. Yeah.
As a little kid wanted to be a comedian, I would, you know, want to impersonate everybody's promos. I'd be running around the house talking about how we snack on danger, we dine on death. You know, great things in wrestling history.
And they were fun too, because, you know, they had the face paint and the big shoulder pads, you know, and their music, the "What a Rush" or whatever, you know. Like, everything about them was just so over the top. It was cool.
Just remember this. We had to do a writing project for one of my high school English classes, and we were doing kind of a sci-fi project where we had frozen the entire class and cryogenic suspension that thought about, and our code names were Hawk and Animal.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Oh, man. But yeah, if I rest in peace to those dudes, they definitely provided a lot of entertainment for people. Man, I accidentally kind of segued all these, but on the front of entertainment, there was okay. So we talked about Hello Good Games, the YouTuber, a few weeks back, probably about four episodes ago, I think, where we were talking about him having to put up. He was one of the people to put up a disclaimer at the beginning of his episodes. Now, so you know, people complaining about win rates or deck styles and blah, blah, all this stuff, right? Well, he kind of undid some of his own work 2 days ago because he puts up a video, and I can't remember what, I want to say maybe it was some Mardu party deck or something, but he puts up a thing that says 100% win rate or whatever on his thumbnail. So people go watch it. It's like a maybe 35, 40 minute video. But it's one, most of it, I would say 25 minutes of it or so, is basically one game. And that's it. He won one game. That's 100% technically. But then, immediately after that, he outright acknowledges, well, yeah, some of y'all are probably going to be upset at the title. And, you know, it's really just there to get y'all to watch my really sweet content. And I got to do what I got to do to get views because that's how I get paid. I'm a full-time YouTuber, blah, blah. And I was just like, man, that's a bad look, dude. Like, if you're going to, like, you know as well as I do, people put stuff, clickbaity titles to get you to go look at weird pictures, articles, whatever, all the time, right? Not saying it's good. I try not to do it, but I get it, right? It's just how you're going to get people to click on things. But to just like when you have to put that apology in immediately, you're already saying, you know, it's a rough tactic. Like you already don't agree with what you're doing. And then the fact that you already had enough harassment, comments, everything else to deal with, that you're putting disclaimers on your video, that's just going to further incite that.
Which, as we discussed on the pre-show, could be part of the plan because YouTube didn't care whether the comments are positive or negative. They just care that you have comments.
But if that's the case, just let people be mad and let them go nuts. Like, don't make yourself look worse by apologizing for doing it.
But would we be talking about it if he not apologized?
Not as much. So that's for sure.
So in theory, he actually knows exactly what he's doing.
But I will say this. I know people who've come to me and mentioned stuff in my comments and in my Discord messages that he definitely lost some viewers. And I was like, yeah, well, that's somebody else's business. I can't tell him what to do. The thing is, though, like I said, I feel like he was. I was one of those things where I'm like, okay, cool. You're doing the right thing. Put up the disclaimer, whatever. I can get behind that. Problem is now you do this and I'm like, okay, well now I'm out.
Of course.
Like I had your back, but when you incite the negativity, that's on you.
You would know this better than me because you're monetized. Do you feel like there's a point at which I guess once you've reached so much momentum, it's, I don't want to say unstoppable per se, but do you feel like there's a point where obviously after monetization where you're not going to go too far backwards? And has he reached that point possibly?
That is a good question. I do think there's a floor. Like I think if I did the math, like even your worst video is probably never going to get less than like a number of views equal to 10 to 20% of whatever your sub count is. Like that's probably the absolute floor. And I would say even if your video is just like average, you're probably still going to get at least somewhere around half as many views possibly, you know, and then you'll have some that'll be like near what your sub count is. But that's for a lot of people, that's kind of rare. until you're like way into the bigger numbers.
Yeah.
Because like I get a lot of stuff right now. I just crossed 5,000 subscribers not that long ago. Over the life of my videos, over about a month, there'll be a bunch that get to like the 3K range. And I'm like, okay, that sounds about right. I have a couple that would be 4,000 to 6,000, but not that many. And I'll have a few because they're usually off topic things or where I talk about like my mental health videos and stuff like that. Some of those are going to get like 500 views or something. But I know that going in, so I don't really worry about it. I'm doing that because I think it's a good thing to do, and I put that out there. But I'm not going to try to clickbait people into watching them because I know the views are going to be low. I mean, there's other things you can do. You can do fun, interesting things. You can change your personality and be just, you know, you could do giveaways. You can do whatever. Like, there's a bunch of things you could do to try to drum up clicks. And I think because here's the thing, even if. For me personally, why I don't like doing it is that even if I get views, they're not going to be long-term viewers, right? They might show up that one time, but if you don't deliver, then they're just going to be like, F this guy. And they're not coming back, right? I want people that are going to be part of my ecosystem that are going to support my stuff. Hell, maybe buy merchandise. You know, come watch my Twitch stream every once in a while, whatever. Like, I want to build a full community. I want to have people that are trying to learn that I can help and everything else. Like, that's part of what I'm doing. That's part of my brand. So to clickbait somebody to get a view today has no benefit or use to me for the future. And so far it's working, right? I can see where my views are slowly clicking up little by little over time. And my number of subs keeps going up little by little. And it's like, okay, so the plan's working. You know, I see a few more people every week come into my Discord. I see my number of average viewers going up pretty regular on my Twitch streams. So it's like, it's happening, you know, but I think it also is a matter of budgeting around what you know your average number is on your views and your monetization. And when it's above that, great. You know, but just figure out what your average is and work toward the average and consider anything else bonus. And then plan for the long term. Because like I said, just getting views today doesn't mean anything. Like, it's fine. It'll help you get paid. But like, I want to build a community. And yeah, it's cool when you get to spike a video every once in a while, right? If you get one that gets you 10,000, 20,000 views, fantastic. But if you can't convert those people, because like, I see channels that have 500 to 1,000 subscribers, and then they have like two videos that hit 26,000, 48,000 views. And I'm like, you couldn't convert 10% of those people? You know what I mean? Like, what was your content? And that means either your content didn't land with people who, however they saw it, whether it got shared on some social media or on somebody's message form or whatever, or you just had a good one-off piece that didn't connect to the rest of your stuff, so nobody wanted to hang around your channel and watch your other videos. And that's on you as a creator to solve that problem. And for me, that just meant creating a second YouTube channel. So, because what happened is I had, you know, like when I'm talking about the mental health stuff, I was like, I'm doing videos from where I'm camping or I'm sitting outside with my chickens or whatever else, right? And people want to know about all these other things, like, oh, where do you go camping at? Or how do you feed all your birds or whatever it is, right? But that's not stuff that's going to make sense on the gaming channel. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to derail stuff on my channel and bother people. I'm just going to create another channel. So I'll put up a video a week, maybe two, that are over there. And if people want to know more about this stuff, great. And if it eventually gets monetized, fantastic. Though, after what, I guess two full weeks, getting into the third week, I have 75 subscribers over there. So, you know, it's off to a good start.
Yep.
So Power Dragon Outdoors, and people love the chicken logo. So there's that.
Because people love chicken. We've discussed this.
They do indeed love chicken. Okay, so the only other thing I really wanted to touch on this week, and this was pointed out, I believe, by Lawson in our Discord, that one of the WNBA players, Caleb McBride, posted an article on the Players Tribune. Which, by the way, for those of you who don't read stuff on the Players Tribune, you are missing out. Like, it, and before you go into like, it's a website that's written by athletes. I'm not into sports ball, whatever. The reality is the stuff written there is by athletes, but there is a lot of very personal, very good articles there. And they're not even all about the actual sport. For instance, this article in particular, she talks about the abuse at home that led to her having anxiety and trauma and, you know, second guessing herself and always needing to get away from things, and how it really took until she was an adult and just broke down talking to her dad before they even like resolved everything. And just goes into how like all of that weighed on her the whole time, where she's going through school, going through college, even getting into the pros, and, you know, never knowing where the support's going to come from or who she can talk to or whatever. Like, it's a pretty well-written piece. But that's the type of stuff that's on the Players Tribune that I think people don't know about. So I'm glad Lawson pointed this article out, because I think it just reminded me to tell people, like, hey, check out this site if you've never read anything over there. Like, there is some really good work being done on that site. It's literally a site that exists specifically for athletes, pro athletes, to be able to tell the personal stories that you're not going to find in other interviews or magazines or whatever. So definitely check that out. It's a good piece. It's a good read. Totally, totally worth reading. But yeah, I think that's it. We're over an hour at this point. So Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel is Allen's Ever After. Go over there to learn about britches.
That's true. You can get some, find out if you're britches or not. As usual, you can find me anywhere just about as Power Dragon, PowerDragn. Streaming on Twitch Mondays, Tuesdays, Fridays. Actually, no, it's not true. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays. Gosh, it's been a long week. 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. Or you can catch me out every day on the YouTubes. I put stuff up every single day there. So go subscribe. Check that out. Help me out. And hit up my merchandise. It'll all be linked. But as usual, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Please continue to wear your mask, wash your hands, keep your distance from other humans that are all icky with the COVID. And hopefully we can get back to congregating, gathering, and playing our games sooner rather than later. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.